But so the topic today, we did this. Satan. Some of us don't like to talk about the devil. The scripture reading is Luke 4, 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
One of the greatest tricks of the devil is convincing people that he doesn't exist. This is an adage, a saying that I've heard from time to time over the years. I don't know if y'all have heard this, but people say it. And it suggests that the devil, being active in the world, has a hold of us because we fail to take proper precautions against him. And because we think he isn't real, we don't guard ourselves well, and he infiltrates our lives with his trickery. If we fail to recognize him, we might let him in. And it's a valid point, even a crucial one. We do need to know that there are forces that may try and harm us and distract us so that we can fortify ourselves in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Who is the devil? Satan. The devil, whether you see him as a mythological being or a personified image of an abstract concept, or a real evil guy that is constantly lurking, he looms large as a cultural icon in our spiritual and in our spiritual concept. He is a concept we are very familiar with. But what is not determined is how seriously and how spiritually we experience this cultural concept. As you are living your life, do you identify the devil coming up against you or trying to seduce you? Do you have occasion to rebuke the devil? Do you ever look back and say, "Yes, that was the enemy that did that to me," or that when I did such and such, I had chosen to listen to the enemy? We could really dig into this topic, I think, and spend hours examining the identity and purpose of the devil. And he appears in so many ways in different cultures and stories. And he appears in our Abrahamic traditions and is generally thought to be something like a fallen angel One who once had great righteousness and beauty, but then rejected the ways of God. And so he is in scripture both directly and indirectly. We assume in the book of Genesis that this serpent that Eve encounters is the devil, but the scripture doesn't really say that directly. In the book of Job, Satan challenges God and is part of putting Job to the test, and all these terrible things happen to him. And it says in some places that the Babylonian god Baal is Beelzebub, the devil. And he comes up indirectly in some of the parables, like the parable of the strong man, where the people accuse Jesus of exorcising demons through the power of the devil, but Jesus says you have to bind the strong man to plunder his house. Or perhaps there's in the parable of the sower, where Satan influences those who fail to understand the gospel. It is written in Luke that Satan entered Judas and caused him to betray Jesus. In Revelation, the devil is depicted as the imperial ruler and also as a red dragon who is expelled to the archangel fights him and casts him into a lake of fire. There are people possessed by demons in the Gospels. So these are the main places, I think, where we hear of the devil in the Bible. And so we have a number of references, but I think we make the devil such a star in some ways, like the villain that he is. Some people act like he is the foil to God, this equal and opposite bad guy. But if we think of the Bible as a whole picture, and it's a thick book, I think we can see that the Bible is not about the devil. He's around, but he's not a central character, I don't think. The Bible is about God and humanity. Satan is not the main character. So while we indeed ought to be aware that the devil is at work and he is lurking, I want us to stand firm in this conviction that God is greater and exponentially more powerful, and that we ought to focus more on following God than getting worked up about the devil. The scales are always tipped towards God. Is it possible, though, I wonder, that we fixate on him too much and still fail to take him seriously as a threat? And so I guess I'm saying that we, like the scriptures overall, ought to take him seriously, yet not give him too much attention, rebuke, and move on. And I say his power is nothing like the power of God, and yet the devil dared to have a conversation with Christ. It seems strange to me that immediately after his baptism is the time when Jesus would go to the wilderness and be tempted. You know, in our contemporary world, I think a lot of us who practice believers' baptism often precede baptism with a time of introspection and reflection, and we study and pray and learn, and then finally we are ready to make this public proclamation and commitment once we have prepared to enter the fullness of Christian life. But no, Jesus does the introspection afterward. He gets baptized and then gets quiet, isolated. And you know that isolation and quietness can be good for the spirit. You can rejuvenate and talk to God under those circumstances. But also in isolation and quietness, this is somewhere where the devil can come out, where your demons come out when you start to get quiet. And I think this is why we as a people are constantly like on our phones or on the TV listening to music, or keeping busy, or working too much, or running around, or why addiction is an issue in our culture. because that wilderness of quiet can be scary. We start remembering we have to face ourselves and our demons. But we do have to, because they are still there, even if we don't face them. And so the story shows us how the devil starts talking to us when we're getting closer to our purpose. Like Jesus had just gotten baptized and was about to begin his ministry of revolutionizing the world with healing and hope. And here comes the devil. And so I want you to know that it's normal when you think you're on your right track. You're about to level up in your life and in your faith, that it's a normal thing that all of a sudden something comes and tries to get you off track. They say that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Another little adage for you. Jesus was full of the Spirit, and the Spirit led him there to this place where he would be challenged to face the devil. This place of hunger and wilderness. And so it would seem that the Spirit does not always want us to stay in places of comfort or even places where we might be of the most use. But we may be called to spend periods away, wrestling with our own demons, as it were, to get strong. Jesus was out there and he was hungry, 40 days hungry. And so this devil comes along and says, hey, you're Jesus. You can make bread. You don't have to sit up here alone and hungry. Fix you something to eat. And we know that Jesus has the ability to make bread. We know because we read the accounts of Jesus' ministry, and he multiplied bread in the wilderness out of just some loaves and fishes. We know that he can turn water into wine, as he did at the wedding at Cana. Like, we know, even if we know Jesus can do anything because he's Jesus, we specifically know that he could do this. And yet he chooses not to. And so one of the lessons we must also draw from the text is all bread is not good bread. All food is not good food. How about all money is not good money? And just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because you have the ability to do something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And just because God gives you the ability to do certain things doesn't mean you should do them indiscriminately. Worship the Lord your God and serve only God, it says. Jesus replies, one cannot live by bread alone. And this is a reference from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. The chapter is all about how the Israelites were in the wilderness. And this humbled them. And this will help them to follow God, this wilderness experience, that they should not forget God in a time of prosperity. It says that God was testing the people and was seeing what was in their heart. And so as Jesus goes in the wilderness, he joins with his Israelite ancestors in their wilderness experience. And he too is put to the test. He is refined and sharpened, and his knowledge of the human struggle is deepened. And the full line from Deuteronomy is, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so we live through the word of the Lord. By the will of God, we have life. The devil tries to get Jesus to prove himself. He appeals to the humanity of Jesus in his ego, if you are the Son of God. And I think all of us have a little bit of a desire just to be known and to be loved. And we want people to know that we're not like judgmental other Christians sometimes, or we're not like those racist white folks, or those man-hating feminists, or those toxic patriarchs. It's hard to not give in to that temptation of trying to show who you are. But Jesus proves himself and shows who he is by standing steadfast on who he is in relation to God, not by the terms of the devil. The devil tries to tempt Jesus by showing him all the earthly kingdoms that can be his if he just worships the devil and submits to his power. But Jesus isn't interested in that type of power. And then the devil challenges the power of God and says that if God is all powerful, he will save Jesus from harming himself. If God is good, then jump off a building and let God protect you. It doesn't work like that, does it? The devil tells Jesus to do something reckless because a psalm says that God will protect you. And so, you know, this is a misuse of scripture. We know that God's wonderful love and grace and mercy are not allowances to do foolish things when we know better. The devil quotes scripture. I want you to take a moment to let that sink in. The devil can recite lines from Psalm 91. Do you feel the impact of that? See, sometimes people get real holy about their ability to quote and interpret scripture. Or they use scripture to club others with, to beat them down, to exclude them. And so you have to understand that scripture can be used in evil ways. Right here, it is used to attempt harm. It can be used with demonic intentions. And this story shows us precisely that when it is used to coerce and to test, that is an illicit use of scripture. And Jesus uses the scripture too, though. So let's be clear that we still use scripture. It's important for us to use it too and to stand on a right spirit as we embrace it. Not just use it for lip service, not to manipulate, but to be faithful, thoughtful, and truthful. So I didn't really want to tell this story, but I kept thinking about it, and I feel like the Spirit was calling me into it, into the wilderness with it. And so, you know, it's a story about the devil at work. So just be forewarned. It's not really I don't want to get too much into it. But a long time ago, I went to this party in my younger years. And unfortunately, it was with some people I didn't really know well. And so there was this guy there. And somehow we were talking a little bit about faith or God. And I was just starting to get a little more serious about faith. And, you know, that's the time when the devil comes knocking, right? And so I remember this guy was reciting some scripture to me, and he was reciting it real fast and without feeling, but kind of showing off that he knew it. Like, I can't remember which scripture it was, but I wasn't impressed. But we were still all kind of, like, hanging out. And so anyway, as the night progresses, I was drinking. And when I went to the bathroom, the two men followed me in there, one of them being this guy who recited scripture to me. And so they locked me in there with them with the intention to harm me. And I was talking, I was trying to get out of it, trying to get out, and I couldn't get out. I knew they weren't going to let me go. And so I couldn't think to do anything else, and all I could think to do was I started saying Psalm 121. I started praying. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He shall not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time now and evermore. And I don't know if I said all the words right, but while I was praying this prayer, at some point the door opened and a light shined into the bathroom, in the dark bathroom. And I saw this person had a knife and had used this knife to open the door and to help me. And I got out. And so I'm going into this space of sharing, not to hate anybody, hate myself for mistakes I made, or hate the other person for the evil they tried to do to me, but to acknowledge that the devil will do whatever, and even spit scripture at us to get at us sometimes. But more than that, I share this to glorify the saving power of God and to let you know that there is power in the Word of God. I know it was only by the merciful intercession of the Lord that I was able to come out of this situation like that. And even if we end up on the devil's playground and give him a platform, the power of God is greater than any evil that comes upon us or any wrong turn we might take. And so this is my testimony of God's saving power, an example of the power of prayer. And I don't know about every situation, but I'm talking about that situation, and God showed up. So we have to fortify ourselves against the devil, and we do that with faith. And we do that with prayer, and we do that with scripture, and with love, and obedience, and discernment. We do that by following Christ. And if the devil was bold enough to come up to Jesus and tap him on the shoulder, do you think that we are beyond his realm of influence? But Jesus, he didn't panic when the devil came up to him. He knew that's just who the devil is, and that's just what the devil does. And so we too, we don't need to panic. We follow Christ. We live by the word of the Lord. We worship God and serve only him. The devil will depart. The scripture tells us to take up the armor of God and to be strong in the strength of his power. And it says, put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, to put on the shoes of peace and the shield of faith, and wear the helmet of salvation. And so we are equipped and empowered by God to come up against any evil and temptation that may test us in this wilderness.